Ramsey TV.
Okay, folks, I got a loaded show for you here today at the end of the week. Let's see if I can get it all in. Somebody asked me a question in the comments on the video 2 days ago, why I think Baal Peor is the false god that is king of the Christian religion. I mean, this is the greatest deception ever foisted upon the human race, to corral humans into religions. This is a satanic stratagem in order to keep them from grasping, from understanding, from being introduced to the true God. I mean, this is the most sophisticated, diabolical stratagem that was ever developed by Satan. Because on the one hand, you can have a bunch of atheists, people who don't believe in God. They're not a threat to Satan. The threat to Satan are people who are looking into the scriptures, trying to find out about God. And as I've said many times before, the work of Christ on the cross was not done in a corner. He despoiled principalities and powers of darkness on the cross. And so, as I said during the Armor of God series, the only thing Satan has left is lies. So he must keep people occupied from learning about the true God and the true Christ. But how do you do that when people are so near to the true God and the true Christ? You do that by getting them so near and yet so far. That is the essence of religion, especially the Christian religion. So near and yet so far. When you have people occupied saying the name of God, saying the name of Christ, they are convinced then that they need not seek any further. They have arrived at the pinnacle of knowledge and the pinnacle of wisdom. And yet this false religion of Christianity has been designed, satanically designed, not only to use the names of God and Christ, but to talk about salvation, to talk about grace. And yet at the same time, to infiltrate that religion with what Paul calls in 1 Timothy 4:1, doctrines of demons. The teachings of demons. Religion in the Greek is diesi daimonia, dread demonism. And so there are dark spirits behind every religion on earth. That's how I want to set this up before I go into why I believe Baal Peor, which was a particular one of the Baals. Baal is a false god. I'm going to get into that. Is the god behind the Christian religion, the small g god. I believe there is a small g god, but very powerful. Don't take that small g wrong. This is not the absolute deity, but these are lords. Baal means lord. There you go. Another so near and yet so far. These false gods are lords over the four great religions of the earth, and they keep people so near and yet so far. And the plan there is so that, again, the people who are corralled into these religions think they have arrived, and they don't need to hear anything else. And they certainly will be offended if you tell them that their religion is a false religion and that their religion has been infected with viruses, also known as doctrines of demons, 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. For those of you who have never heard this, I am going to go to Daniel chapter 7. In chapter 7 of Daniel, I've gone into this in detail before. If you want details on this, we did an amazing show in Cleveland, Ohio, on the radio live, Christian Radio, WCCD Cleveland. I went in detail. This was the last night. I had to do this on the last night of our contract, because if I had done this on the first night of our contract, we would have been gone. It's that serious of an address, and it was that inflammatory to the very Christians who were hosting us. This was a Christian radio station, and there I am teaching on Daniel chapter 7, the beasts of Daniel chapter 7. What are they? They are religions. So I'm going to link you to that show if you want more details on that. I can't go into the details here. I'm just going to give an overview so I can get to Baal Peor. Go to the link below, watch that show. It's a barn burner. And it is a WCCD radio station burner. We burned the station down, basically. We burned the whole religion down, which I do for a living, because this religion is the most deceptive religion, because as I said 2 days ago, how dare God's dark spiritual enemies hijack the very names of God and Christ, and yet they are false. They are not the true God in Christ. Again, Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 that they are worshiping a different Jesus. Those are his words, not mine. A different Jesus. This is not the true Jesus, and it is not the true God. In Daniel chapter 7, in year 1 of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel perceived a dream and visions of his head on his bed, and he wrote down the dream. And I was perceiving in my vision, this is verse 2, during the night, and behold, the four winds of the heavens were rushing forth to the vast sea. Winds are typical, this is a dream, so these are not literal winds, but wind is typical of the spirit. So there were four spirits, is my interpretation of this, and it really would be anyone's interpretation, because wind is a common metaphor for the spirit, just like the wind that came into the upper room. Only this is a dark. These are dark winds because they produced four monstrous animals coming up from the sea. The sea is typical of the mass of humanity, diverse from one another. The eastern animal is like a lioness. And then the next animal was a she-bear, the animal west of it. The next one was a leopardess, and then in the place of these, Daniel beheld a fourth animal, terrifying and dreadful and exceedingly mighty. She had monstrous iron teeth, and she was devouring and crushing and stamping upon the remainder, that is, the remainder of the beasts, with her feet. She was diverse from all the animals that were east of her, and she had 10 horns. When you look at the details, which I have not done here, but if you look at the details of each one of these animals, they match to a T the four major religions of the earth. And there are only four major religions. As they go from east to west, the concordant wording here, I'm reading from the concordant version of the Old Testament, is exquisite. The eastern beast was a she-bear. And as they go west, they get more terrifying, and the most terrifying is the western beast. These religions, as they go from east to west, are Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, and Christianity. That is, yes, that is true. The most terrifying beast is the Christian religion. And again, as I've said, it is the most deceptive beast. This beast is going to be destroyed in the unveiling of Jesus Christ. This is what the 200 million supernatural cavalry come out of the submerged chaos to destroy the religions of the earth. This is why I have told people for years now, if you are in the Christian religion, you need to get the hell out as fast as you can. This is a 911 thing, because they are coming for you. They are coming for you. God, before he establishes his kingdom on the earth with his religion and his politics, he must scrape clean the earth's religion and the earth's politics. Now, you might object when you get to God's interpretation of these beasts. In verse 17, the interpretation is given to Daniel. These monstrous animals, the four of them, are four kingdoms that shall arise from the earth. So in spite of the fact that the description, the wings of these beasts, their claws, their teeth, their ravenous appetite, if you, again, watch the show from Grace Cafe, you will see that the four religions, the four main religions on the earth, all the religions are an offshoot. Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, and Christianity fit the descriptions here. So why are they called kingdoms? For that, I want to go to Unveiling. That is the book of Revelation, chapter 9, verse 7. We hear about the locust and the fifth messenger trumpets. I'm starting in verse 1 of chapter 9. And I perceived a star fallen from out of heaven into the earth. And to him was given the key of the well of the submerged chaos. And he opens the well of the submerged chaos. And fumes ascended out of the well as the smoke of a large furnace. By the way, this is literal. I know. Shock to me too. The word of God is literal. That's the default setting. Literal, unless there's an obvious figure of speech, an obvious metaphor here, but this is not metaphoric, this is literal. Fumes ascend out of the well as the smoke of a large furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by the fumes of the well, and out of the fumes came out locusts into the earth, and license was granted them as the scorpions of the earth have license. And it was declared to them that they should not be injuring the grass or the earth, nor any green thing, nor any tree, except those of mankind who have not the seal of God on their foreheads. And it was granted to them, not that they should be killing them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. 5 months also is the lifespan of a natural locust, but these are not natural locusts. And their torment is as the torment of a scorpion whenever it should be striking a man. Here's what I'm driving at. Verse 7, and the likeness of the locusts are like horses made ready for battle, and on their heads are as it were wreaths like gold, and their faces are as it were human faces, and they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth are as if they were lions, and they had cuirasses. They have tails. Verse 11, they have a king over them. The locusts have a king over them, the messenger of the submerged chaos. His Hebrew name is Abaddon, and in Greek, he has the name Apollyon. This is a demonic spirit that has jurisdiction over the locusts of the submerged chaos, and he is called a king. Likewise, these four beasts have kings, but they are not kings of the earth. This is what confuses people. They're not kings of the earth. They're celestial kings. They're demonic kings. They're kings of darkness under the head of Satan himself. But of course, we know Satan is under the headship of God, so nothing happening here is not dictated by and executed by God. But I wanted to point out to you that the kingdoms, that these religions are called kingdoms, tell me. And people look for what king? What king is over these, what you call religions? There is no earthly king. They are dark kings, like unto Apollyon. This is literal. This king of the submerged chaos actually has a name. This is a being as real as Satan. And I know there are people who don't even believe that Satan is a real being. It's a metaphor for evil. Well, gee, I think Satan is probably really happy that people think that. And I'm sure he himself has inspired that lie. So the fourth beast that Daniel saw coming out was the most Western religion, and that is the Christian religion. Now, why do I say that Baal, Peor specifically, is these particular false god, the king? Why do I say Baal Peor is the king of the kingdom? They consider it a kingdom. We consider it a religion, but from the celestial perspective of these sovereignties and authorities and world mights of this present darkness, from their perspective, they are kings over kingdoms. And indeed, I could easily think of Christianity as a kingdom. And add to that the fact that Christianity now is about to take political power. The rulers of Islam do have political power. But I don't even have to see it that way from the earthly perspective, because I know that these are kingdoms over which are kings who are rulers, lords, Baal, lords in the celestial realm who are dictating the actions of human beings. Again, I don't use that word lightly when I say that humanity has been corralled, shepherded into groups to keep them occupied with the right wording, with emotions, with the Holy Bible, but that has been in 99% of the cases mistranslated to the point that the doctrines of demons, the king of the doctrines of demons being eternal conscious torment, can be injected into the human race. And it doesn't matter how it happens, whether it's a church council like the Council of Nicaea that was responsible, as far as I understand it, for bringing in the false teaching of the Trinity, which denies the death of Christ. This is all of satanic origin. The people are oh so willing to join to be a part of it because Satan has changed his tactics since the cross of Christ. He used to be an attacker. He used to attack directly. This is what he did to Job. But since the death of Christ, he has developed stratagems. And now, as I've said over and over again, he is disguised as an angel of light, as a messenger of light, and his ministers as dispensers of righteousness. And the falsehood has also been systematized. Paul says this in Ephesians, says the systematizing of the deception, because this is what makes this false religion, all these false religions, palatable to human beings, the systematizing of it. So all their worship songs, all their altars, all their bright, shiny lights and the acceptability and the Jesus hardware, it's all part of the systematizing of the deception. Now, Baal Peor. You'll read about this in Numbers chapter 25 when the Israelites were at Shittim, just outside of the promised land. There was a terrible event in which 24,000 people had illicit sexual relations with the women of Moab, who, by means of cult prostitution, brought these Israelites into the worship of their Baal. And their Baal was Baal of Peor. Peor is not Baal's last name. Peor is a mountain in Moab. Shittim is in Moab. It's a mountain where Balak, the king of Moab, took Balaam, the non-Israelite prophet, in order to curse Israel, but he does not curse Israel. Remember, three times he goes up there and he ends up blessing Israel. But according to Numbers chapter 31, Balaam, verse 16, I think it is, Balaam suggested that Israelites could be seduced into the worship of false gods by means of sexual relations. They had a soft spot for that, and Balaam knew it. And so this was the suggestion, apparently, from Numbers 31:16, although we don't actually see it in the text back in Numbers chapter 22, 23, 24. Nevertheless, he is held responsible for this. And what happened was that this great idolatry, God killed 24,000 men, not because of the sex, but because of the idolatry. The sex was the avenue, was the method by which these Israelites were brought into union with the false god. And the mountain Peor was very near there. And so that particular Baal, that particular Lord, that particular false god was the Lord or the king of that region. And worship of Baal did entail sexual union with women. This is what Paul was warning about in 1 Corinthians. In fact, Paul references this event when he says 24,000 were killed in one day. Paul references it. He might say 23,000 people, and like there was 1,000 leaders. There's a discrepancy here. Some texts say 23,000, some say 24,000, but the discrepancy lies in the fact that some were the leaders. There was a difference of 1,000 there, but that's irrelevant. but I know about that in case somebody's saying Zender's wrong. It's not, that's not the right number. The Lord Baal of Peor seduced the Israelites via the counsel of Balaam, via the evil designs of Balak, king of Moab, to commit idolatry. This was not about sex, it was about idolatry. And this was the Israelite weakness. Baal Peor is interesting because it has a very close association to Israel. If you look at the map, Moab is right next door to Israel. In fact, the mountain of Peor, where Baal of Peor gets his name, is not too far from Bethlehem. And so the god of the Moabites, Baal Peor, was always hassling the Israelites. There was always an influence there. And as I've told you many times, I believe that the lost 10 tribes of Israel migrated to the north and to the west, and this is the Christian religion. These people who are religious in nature, who are hypocrites by nature, who worship God for their own gratification, fond of their own gratification rather than fond of God, having a form of devoutness but denying the power, these are Israelite traits, and this is what we see in the Christian religion. It's an epidemic. So this Lord was closely associated with Israel, and therefore, I believe, closely associated with the Christian religion. And the final nail in the coffin here. In my mind, this is just me. Nobody can know for sure which Dark Lord is organizing, has organized, and is currently corralling blind worshipers into the Christian religion. This is my educated guess based on the history of Baal of Peor, in that his key stratagem was to involve people in sexual sin. And again, the sexual sin was idolatry. Paul, I went back to Paul in 1 Corinthians, he warns people of cult prostitution. Whenever Paul says prostitution, not every time, but in the 1 Corinthians context, it is the kind of prostitution that got 24,000 people killed in one day by God. And it's for the idolatry. The women were conduits to worship of false gods. This is what all the cult temples were all about in Corinth. And the Corinthians were especially susceptible to this. According to historians, there were hundreds of cult prostitution temples in Corinth. But as I told you, Satan changes his plan since the cross. He's had to regroup, because the direct attack doesn't work anymore. Now it's all subterfuge. This is what the armor of God, to protect us against the stratagems of the adversary. John 8:44, he's a liar and the father of it. And so what is the change of tactics? The change of tactics is now, instead of seducing God's so-called people, people who would potentially be God's people if they weren't in the Christian religion, to keep them not God's people and occupied in religious exercises, in self-righteousness, in bowing down to doctrines of demons, he now has them engaged in a false enemy. You can see this all through Christianity. And the false enemy is sex, S-E-X, the false enemy. Christians are now obsessed with sex. They say, Martin, no, they stay away from sex. I didn't say that they were obsessed with sex in that they constantly are looking to participate in any sort of idolatrous acts of darkness or the types of sins mentioned in Leviticus chapter 20. What I'm saying is, it's the opposite. It's the opposite because Satan knows that these are a gaggle of self-righteous people who think they're doing the law of Moses, and so they're not going to overtly do things which the law of Moses prohibited, even though because of the nature of the law, they end up doing them anyway in many cases. But now they're going to fight it. They're going to be against it. And Lord Baal Pure has obsessed this religion with sexual issues. Some of them, I'm not saying that some of them aren't legitimate, but many of them are bogus. I've talked many times about the book, Every Man's Battle. This book aligns with the Christian protocol, seems to me, to feminize men, to take the testosterone out of men, to make them more like women. This is the goal of the Christian religion. Men have been made slaves of this false morality, this human-invented morality that would pit a man against his own body. And you say, yeah, Martin, you talk about that. But look at the big picture in which I'm talking about it now. Look at the big picture. This is a demonic inspiration to keep Christians fighting a false battle. Every man's battle. You know what every man's battle should be? Every man's battle should be putting on the armor of God to dispense and dispel the lies of Satan, the lie of free will, the lie of eternal torment, the lie of the Trinity, things that actually keep people from believing Paul's gospel of grace. That should be every man's battle. But no, instead, every man's battle is fighting testosterone. You can see how petty and how stupid and how useless, for the most part, this battle is. And yet, who else would inspire this but Baal of Peor, whose occupation was of a sexual nature? His deceptions were of a sexual nature. But before this was accomplished through active sexual idolatry, now it's accomplished in a far more subtle, far more deceptive way, in that I'm going to get this group, these millions and millions of people to fight what they call sexual immorality, which for the most part is not sexual immorality at all as God defines it. But there's the NIV translation, the New Inconsistent Version, which uses sexual immorality for the Greek word porneia, which is actually means prostitution, the kind of prostitution that got 24,000 people killed at Shittim. And that wasn't because they were looking at Playboy magazines or watching R-rated movies or watching the girls go by or masturbating in the corner. No, they were having sex with women, Moabite women, who were bringing them into concert with Baal Peor. This, again, I say, it's a sin of idolatry, not a sin of sex. And so the whole rationale of Lord Baal of Peor is to occupy these people with petty battles so that the greater evil of eternal torment can be worked through their midst. These people are turning the entire world from God with their false teachings, their doctrines of demons. Heavy hitting lies like eternal torment, again, free will, and the Trinity. But what are they fighting instead? Testosterone, R-rated movies, dirty magazines. This is by satanic design. This is why I say Baal of Peor is the Lord of the Christian religion. I'll end with this. My son Gabe said this morning, can you imagine, Dad? You live with your grandmother, or you visit your grandmother for years and years, and sweet grandma, she bakes you cookies, and then one day she pulls a mask off of her face, and there is a demon. There's a evil demon behind that mask the whole time. This was never your grandmother. It was a demonic spirit. This is the shock and the agony awaiting Christians when they find out who they have been worshiping.